Welcome to No Country for Craft Beer, the newest iteration of Focus on the Beer's flagship podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Hannigan, and with me is our resident BJCP certified judge, Josh Howard.
I'm co-captain on this flagship.
Co-captain on this ship. Thanks to everyone that listened to our first episode of this new iteration. I think it came out about a month ago. We're a little bit slacker on what we're actually, you know, when we're actually recording. But hopefully, you know, we're doing this in the pandemic. We're doing it over Zoom. We should be better about it.
The pandemic, time is relative anyway.
It really is. It feels like it was just yesterday when we did this. But in the last one, I sort of teased that we would talk about the theme behind this podcast, or at least the idea behind the name, because as I was talking with Josh before the show started, a lot of people hear No Country for Craft Beer and they think of the movie No Country for Old Men, that graphic.
They immediately think Texas oil boom and murder.
Yep. And the oil boom in Texas, Wild Wild West style sort of graphicness there. But that's not really where it's stemming from. The inspiration is a William Butler Yeats poem named Sailing to Byzantium. And essentially this poem is written as a metaphor for a spiritual journey. But more specifically, it's this journey of someone pursuing their own vision of eternal life and their conception of what paradise is. And so the idea is that craft beer is this eternal thing. And no matter what happens, your brewery gets sold to a big Australian Japanese conglomerate like New Belgium, or you get sold to Anheuser-Busch, but craft beer as this idea keeps going, and those things don't, those breweries aren't what craft beer is. Craft beer is this idea and this movement in this industry that keeps going no matter who falls off the ship and who, you know, who's not there. And it's either by the, you know, the new guys that are starting up or the places that are expanding or, you know, changing their business plan to suit COVID things. There's some things we're going to talk about today with some local places that have really been switching up how they're doing things in the time of COVID, just to sort of keep things afloat. And I think that's part of what craft beer is that there's this, you know, this eternal push that it's always going to be craft beer, and you know it's going to be, you know, inventive and different, and that's what makes it that. But it doesn't, it's not tied to a certain brewery or a certain style of beer even. And then there's also this conception of paradise where, you know, telling Josh beforehand, you drink your favorite beer and you find it's the best beer in the world. And for me, it was something like Heady Topper or Focal Banger from The Alchemist, which was this like perfect, amazing, perfect beer. But that doesn't, like, you don't stop there. You're always searching for that next best thing, that next awesome beer that you're going to super, you know, enjoy and relish. And so that's sort of the tie-in to the name. And so we're going to just take it and run with it. So welcome. As I hiccup, I need some beer. I have my beer for this episode. Josh, you want to talk a little bit about what you're drinking?
I do, now that I've opened it. So Shorts Brewing Company was kind enough to send me a little Huma, which is their low-cal, low-carb IPA, which, you know, for podcasting, it's kind of nice to start with just a 4% as opposed to diving right into barley wine and then finding myself, you know, speaking in cursive at the end of the episode. So, yeah, it's I've not tried it yet. I'm trying it live.
So this is basically their low carb option. I feel like a lot of breweries are putting out this sort of low carb. It's almost like the new age session IPA is what I want to say.
Yeah. So there's like 4 net carbs in this 12-ounce can, and it's got a light hoppy aroma.
I think I had the one that the Dogfish put out, the Slightly Mighty or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that one was actually really good. We bought a mix pack of Dogfish the other day, and after drinking a couple of them, I didn't realize it until I looked at the can that it was their low-cal offering. So it was interesting how well breweries are able to put some good flavor into a beer without maybe as much ingredients or, you know, other bits.
Yeah, it's got a nice hoppy flavor to it. Really light. I mean, you don't get a ton of you know, malt sweetness out of it, which you'd expect with something that's going to be low carb. So I feel like a lot of these are just kind of where people's brute IPAs ended up.
That's a good point.
You know, they wanted to continue using that because people like the brute IPA. But then brute IPA kind of disappeared stylistically. You don't see people talking about it anymore, but you still see these low carb or low cal, at least, IPAs rolling around. And I think that's kind of the natural progression where this brute IPA process ended up.
That's a really interesting way to do it. I am going the complete opposite end of it. I've got a 9.5% alcohol IPA with vanilla in it, double IPA with vanilla. It's probably one of my favorite beers that's been out lately. New Image and Peculiar Brewing put out 93 Land Cruiser for Sale IPA. Essentially, there was a 1993 Toyota Land Cruiser for sale by the owners of Peculiar Brewing up in Greeley, and they decided to name that after their beer after it. But it is, you know, it's a great, tasty, you know, I want to say milkshake ish, but I want to say it's more milkshake inspired.
I feel like anytime you're adding vanilla to an IPA, that's kind of the route you're attempting to take.
I don't see that they put lactose in it, though. I feel like they might have. It just says that they added vanilla to add that sort of sweetness. So I really like it. I think it matches well. It's a beautiful haze. But yeah, that's sort of what you expect from New Image. They're sort of known for making really good stuff. But it's my last of a 4-pack. I figured it was a good one for this episode.
Yeah, I just snagged a 4-pack of their double dry hopped Coriolis.
Oh yeah. That's the double or the triple?
I think it's the double.
Yeah. Cause the triple came out a couple weeks ago and everyone was freaking out about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so on to today's, I don't know, talking points. It's a little less structured as we were last time. We had a guest.
Structure?
We had a little bit of structure. We had a guest that was hopefully going to join us for this one, but they'll join us probably for our next episode. But we figured we'd talk about some gift options and things that you can do to support both local breweries and other beer-related industries when you're looking for gifts for people this holiday season.
It is that time of year. I mean, we're rolling up on Black Friday as we speak. The episode will probably be out slightly before that or slightly after.
Yeah, the hope is that Black Friday is after this episode comes out so you can get some shopping done.
Yeah, one of our perennial recommendations has always been the Rare Beer Club. And they have a suite of different clubs and offerings. They do cheese, they do chocolate. I tried their cigar club once and they had a nice little batch of cigars that they sent out to me that I thought were really good. Shared a couple with some friends too. And but yeah, their beer selection has always been amazing. Their rare beer club specifically, and they've got stuff for IPAs and other things too. Got some really fun offerings out of there that we've enjoyed.
And it's actually a pretty good deal for what you get. You know, that's sort of the tough thing about these like trunk clubs or these, you know, boxed subscription box clubs is sometimes when you get the box or whatever, you feel like you didn't get what like you needed. You know, you spent $60 on it. Yeah, you didn't get what you paid for. You spent $60 on it and you look at everything and you're like, ah, I don't know if it's worth it. But one of the cool things that the Rare Beer Club has is they have you know, while there's some rare beers that you do get that are, you know, hard to find, they also have breweries that brew specific beers for the club, which is super awesome. And each time when you get it, they've got three different plans. They got a two bottle, a four bottle, and a six bottle plan. Each time it's monthly. The bottles range from about, you know, $18-$19 a bottle is basically what you're paying plus shipping. And that's pretty good considering that they're mostly 750 milliliter bottles. Yeah. I was trying to look at what this month's...
They do have some smaller ones, but most of the 750 mil, they start at right about $16-$18 and go up from there. I have seen some smaller format bottles on there going for around 10 or slightly less.
Yeah.
But yeah, the selection they've got is really impressive. They've got a little something for everybody. They do the sours, the big barrel stuff, stouts, barley wines, you name it. They run the entire gamut of, large format beers that you want to try.
Yeah. And right now, like this month's, I mean, I guess you wouldn't be able to get these because November's already happened, but essentially the picks right now, August Shell Brewing Company,
Minnesota represent.
Yeah. They've got a Flanders Red, Berliner style wheat ale. They aged that in cypress tanks, which I don't know a whole lot about cypress tanks, but I am Googling that. I think it's sort of like they're basically like an older something that older lagering tanks that essentially used to be used back in the 30s. But essentially August Shell is one of the main places that's using these old lager tanks. And they're basically just for these sour beers. So,
and it's really interesting. It's a brewery too. I mean, they're fairly old in the grand scheme of things.
They are. I know that they decided to not brew these sour ales at the same spot that they were brewing all their other stuff. So, basically to keep things safe. But that's that's coming out, and then they also have a Blue Mountain Barrel House bourbon barrel aged imperial porter with cocoa and orange peel. So that thing's 8%. The sour's a nice 7%. You're getting some interesting different things that you might not be able to find at the local liquor store. But the other
and their thing, ability to ship around, you've got the advantage for yourself if you wanted to subscribe to this, but also if you're looking for a gift for somebody who is a beer lover, they ship pretty much everywhere as long as the state allows alcohol to be shipped there. And it's a nice way to shop for people in this weird time where it's harder to shop for things generally. So it's definitely COVID friendly shopping for the holidays.
Yeah, and one of the ones that I really liked was if you have like a family member that maybe is just getting into craft beer or maybe needs to sort of expand their palate a little bit, their basic micro-brewed beer club usually has 4 different styles, 12 bottles. They're all 12-ounce bottles, but it's a good way to sort of just, stock the fridge with 4 different beers. Usually there's 2 or 3 different breweries in that batch of stuff. So if you liked one thing from a brewery, you could have another thing from that same brewery. They also do a US and international version. So that is a mix of US and, outside of the US breweries. They have a Hopheads one, which is, I'm not as big of a fan of the Hopheads one because I feel like it's a lot more of bottled style of beers, so you're going to see a lot more of the traditional IPAs, not the hazy stuff that's usually hitting cans.
I would guess that'd be harder for them to work with too, simply because of shipping and lead times and handling. It's maybe they don't tolerate fluctuations in condition as well. You want to keep those New England IPAs refrigerated, and you can't guarantee that happens every step along the way when you ship.
But even talking about that, right now they've got Zipline Brewing, who I feel they're out of like Nebraska, I want to say. They've got a couple of theirs. They've got their Alpha Modern IPA in there right now, which is Citra, Mosaic, Simcoe. Like it's like a, I guess it's not like a New England, but they say it's unfiltered, so they're at least not trying to like make it a crazy haze bomb, but they're not like, hey, this is a clean beer.
Zipline Brewing is out of Lincoln, Nebraska. You were correct.
Awesome. Yeah, I thought it was Thought it was Lincoln, Nebraska, but right now they're doing a fall flash sale. So they also have they have just a beer store, which is probably the coolest part about it, is that you don't have to get a box of beer. You can just order beer from them, and they have all of their, you know, past things that they've had available, which is super awesome. So, like, you know, a lot of the things that you maybe you saw, it was in a past month or something like that, and you're like, oh, I missed that, I'm gonna have to start now. You could actually grab one of those from their beer store if it was still available, because they usually buy them in big batches for all of their people, and you have to buy, you know, a fair amount to do that. So they've got a lot of fun stuff from McKellar I saw in there, for actually pretty decent prices for what it is. It's all like in individual bottles.
Shop it by the bottle, kind of like you would at like a Tavor or something like that.
Yep. Tavor is, or Tavor, however you want to say it. That's my next one that I was going to talk about. Sort of similar to the subscription thing. They do have a subscription service, but Tavor, they're the ones that are hitting up these small batch stuff. But it's pretty much like you fill a crate up with different beers and then it ships at a certain point in the future. So as soon as you say, you know, that you want the beer, they're going to charge your card for it there in that day. And then when it ships, they'll charge you shipping for it. So it's a little different than how the beer club works, where you get sort of a little bit of a choice on what you're getting. It's very similar and it works pretty nicely. Their stuff's not as well discounted though, as I want to say.
I found them to be a little on the spendier side, but they do get some interesting stuff. Like they've had a Media Noche variant from Weldworks. You know, they've had Juicy Bits on there a few times. So Tavor does tend to get some, you know, interesting stuff that's maybe a little harder to get in certain parts of the country.
I met one of their top, I want to say executives, but one of their top people at the company, Megan at GABF a couple years ago. She's, I think, the cousin of Mark Slattery from First Draft. So there's that connection beer-wise, but I was able to walk around the floor at GABF and sort of talk about like what they do. And it's pretty cool. They work with all these really small places, similar to what Rare Beer Club does, but their stuff, they've really expanded since I used to use it. I used it back in, I want to say like 2016, 2017, a bunch. And I just recently just sort of jumped back onto the app just the other day. And they've got some really fun things where they're doing more bundles now too. And things are going super quick. Like they had, what was it? It was Freem out of Hood River, Oregon. They had a holiday bundle from Freem, which had like six different beers from Freem. And if you've had anything from Freem before, their stuff is just top notch, amazing. But it included things like Imperial Stout, maple smoked porters, like all these amazing, amazing things. But if you like to sort of do a little bit of online shopping and you're into, you know, ordering something and then maybe getting it, you know, a month or so later, that's another one to check out for that sort of online stuff.
Yeah. Now, the flip side of that coin, of course, now with at least locally here, we're faced with, you know, on-premise dining and all of that being shut down. I mean, people could still be outside in beer gardens, but it was, you know, 20 some odd degrees here today. So beer gardens don't sound near as much fun when it's that cold out. Obviously you really want to also be out supporting local at this point in time and, you know, buying a bunch of crowlers up for your friends as gifts from your local breweries. I saw something that, John Shikes from Westward had tweeted out. It wasn't even him. It was Beer Babe on Twitter had this thing. She said normally she likes to recommend five beers for Thanksgiving, but this year she's just saying buy five beers from five different breweries that you would be sad if they weren't around next Thanksgiving. which is really kind of the approach I think we should try to take, is really support those local breweries that you want to see stick around, because having to, you know, be at a much lower level of occupancy, and in fact, really no occupancy indoors, and going back to a lot of to go, they really need you to hit them up now when they're incapable of doing as much on-site business.
Yeah, the biggest thing is if you think of a place and you're like, you know what, we're not going to go there because they're going to be doing okay, they've got enough people, that's when you actually probably should go there, because chances are there's a lot of people thinking maybe the same thing. So like Josh said, if there's a spot that you want to see, you know, next year at a beer festival, support them now so that they actually can keep paying their employees and keep making beer, so that they can actually be there once things open up and vaccines get distributed and we can all actually drink beers with each other again.
A lot of places are running specials now too, like, you know, buy 3 or 4 crowlers, get one free type of thing. So they're trying to lean into it a little bit and make some promotions that make sense for people.
And don't make yourself feel, you know, uncomfortable. If you are only comfortable with curbside pickup, a lot of places are doing that. So there's a bunch of liquor stores that are doing delivery as well. So you can always, you know, call into a liquor store, order some local beer that's in package. I know Red Legs packaging, FH Beer Works, Bristol, a lot of your top local places are packaging and are at local liquor stores. So that's another way to support them and keep those dollars going, because those local liquor stores are also hurting as well. But yeah, it's a tough time. And
even the gift guides get a little depressing at a certain point. We're just like, man, we got to talk about this, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, it's tough. Usually it's like, oh, these guys are doing this crazy beer dinner, or these guys are doing this crazy tasting event.
Wheat wine with this, that, and the other thing in it. You should definitely go try this weird beer. It'll be great.
I feel like every event that I RSVP for on social media gets canceled or postponed, and it's tough. Yeah, but yeah, go out, support, give your dollars to the local places. For those of you who maybe waited in line at In-N-Out for half a day, shame.
Well, you know, I'm of two minds on this, and we're not going to stray too far from the whole beer thing, but I kind of feel like there's a contingency of people who've had it before and were nostalgic for it, you know, and thus they were out there. And there's, you know, like, I've never had In-N-Out, and so I don't know what I'm missing or not missing, but I'm not going to go there and wait in line for half a day to get it. I'll wait till the hype dies down and go try it at some other point when it's a little more convenient, because there's plenty of other good burgers in town. I mean, that's, you know, it's the same with breweries. There's lots of good breweries in town. I can go to all of them. If one's too busy, I'll just go to the next one down the street. Easy enough. But I also kind of feel like that there might be, you know, people say, oh, well, this place in town, you know, sit down restaurant does a better burger. Well, sure, they do a better burger, but they don't have a drive through. You know, the McDonald's crowd wants to try the new burger in town. Maybe that's a fraction of that too. I don't know if it's necessarily this In-N-Out opening is pulling away from people who would be going to a sit down place for a nice restaurant, for a nice burger. I feel like, you know, it's maybe not the same set of people. That Venn diagram doesn't have as much overlap as people like to think it does.
I want to sort of compare it to craft beer. And it's a lot of times when, like, you know, you're this famed outside of Colorado brewery that never distributed to Colorado comes to Colorado. And
the ABF drop type of thing.
When Alchemist became available in Colorado, people just went bonkers for it. And yes, it is that, like, paradise beer, but there are so many good beers that are being produced within 100 miles of where we are right now that can compete with that. And I got a can of Focal Banger, which is my, like, holy grail beer, And I was disappointed. I thought it was, you know, it didn't taste as holy grail as I remember it tasting. And I almost wonder if these places expanding and opening up new markets and opening up Colorado as a new market, if that almost taints the nostalgia or the mystique behind them a little bit. For me, In-N-Out, I subscribed to the hype when I was younger. I went out to a Warp Tour with a buddy when we lived in Durango. We drove out to Ventura Beach, California, and we hit In-N-Out right away because we were just so pumped for In-N-Out, and it was gross. And the fries were gross. The animal style was gross. And it was really a letdown because we were in California. It wasn't like we went to the Park City one or one that was outside of California. It was in California and we were just, it was just sort of a letdown. And then, so speaking in terms of things coming to Colorado, I remember when Taco Bueno came to Colorado Springs and everybody was just like, oh yeah, Taco Bueno is going to be the best thing in the world. And I think we went there and it was like, this is not very good. And I feel like there's this nostalgia, either you ate it when you're a kid, so you don't totally remember what it tastes like, but you remember it being good. And then, you know, they've kept going as a company. They've probably cheapened up some of the ways that they're producing things. And then they come to your city and your state, and it's just not as good. And I almost feel like the same thing happens with craft beer. The beer is usually still pretty good, but sometimes it's just not that same experience where you've, you know, had that pilgrimage to the brewery to experience their place and have the beer at the source. It sort of cheapens it for me. That's just my take.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's a degree of freshness there, you know, it, how much did it suffer in transport?
Right.
You know, that's always a possibility. But you know, speaking of Taco Bueno, you know, they were up to 5 locations and then all of them closed.
Right. They expanded like crazy into Colorado, and then just, it was like, people were like, oh yeah. And they were like, oh, yeah,
that was a real short hype wave. Got big and then crashed immediately.
And I feel like the same thing is going to happen with, what was it? Raising Cane's. That's that chicken place that's got a line around the block at all times. It's got to slow down for them at some point. In-N-Out,
they do make a good chicken strip. Just saying.
The fact that I don't know
if In-N-Out will see that same kind of thing. Of course, you ask any Texan, and they're like, "We need to get a Whataburger," because apparently Whataburger is
right. We just need another cheaper burger. Right. It's the same
thing. I'm just mad that the Drifters up on my end of town got shut down because they made a great burger.
Was that the one that was in the old Taco Bell by Chapel Hills?
Yeah, up by the mall here. They shut that one down. They've still got the one location further south, but that's a bit of a hike.
Yeah, that's too bad. I felt actually like the quality for Drifters was better at that old Taco Bell than at the other location. We decided to try to go there one day. Like, I was out grocery shopping, and I was going to bring home lunch, and I went over to that, not knowing that the north went and closed, and it was like an In-N-Out line. The line went through their parking lot, snaked out to the neighbor's parking lot, around the neighbor's parking lot, and then was out on the street. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And my brain was like, it's just Drifters. Like, what in the world? But I guess, you know, people like their mustard fried burgers, you know?
Yeah, they...
Or onion fried. That's what I think it's.
Onion fried, yeah.
Yeah, Green Line's,
I'm sure they put mustard on it too, but...
Yeah, no, Green Line Grill. I mean, if you like a local burger, Green Line Grill is where we usually go. Mm-hmm. They do the mustard fried, so they put mustard down on the grill top, and then they – no, they do onion fried. Maybe it's not mustard fried. Maybe mustard fried is In-N-Out, and maybe onion fried is Green Line. I don't know. I love burgers. I'm in the burger group on Facebook, but, man, I watch George Motes, and I go, all right, cool, that guy knows more than me about burgers. I will probably get everything wrong.
George Motes has gotten me into a ton of trouble because I keep watching the videos and the wife's like, that looks delicious. Can you make that? Yep, I can make that.
Someone needs to start doing a beer pairing with George Motes where they pair a beer to each of the different burgers that he does. because he does ones with like hot dogs on
them. Go well with a burger? I mean, really?
Yeah, any beer goes well with a burger.
Yeah.
But, I guess. Wow, what is it? It's Thanksgiving soon here. Usually this is like every year I've done like a top beers to pair with Thanksgiving post again, on our site.
Time has no meaning.
And right. And I'm like, I haven't done that yet. And I don't think I will this year, because usually it's like, I think one of our biggest, most popular ones is where we took the beers that would be Thanksgiving beers and we compared them to the people you'd see it at Thanksgiving. That was one of our most popular Thanksgiving posts. And now it's like, oh, I feel like that's insensitive to do something like that. The IPA is like your alarm clock that just sits there and doesn't do anything. And the barley wine is like your cat sitting in the corner that just doesn't want to have anything to do with you.
But it's been sitting there minding its own business. And then all of a sudden you look over and realize it stuck its tail into a candle and it's on fire.
Yeah.
That's typically how barley wines work. It's like, oh, this is great. An hour later, why I know stand up good.
I did want to mention, if you're looking for a cool gift type thing and you're okay driving 30 minutes into the mountains, Paradox on Friday for Black Friday, instead of going and waiting in the lines at the big box stores, which probably is not a good thing anyways with COVID, go to Paradox.
They're doing all the stuff online anyway, but
yeah, Paradox is doing a free pint glass with the purchase of beers. You can either buy two draft pints, so you and your loved one can go buy two beers and get a free awesome I think they're Willie Becher pint glasses, or you just buy a crowler and get one, or a four pack and get one. And I think you can only get two glasses per person. So if you went up with two or three people, you could come home with six glasses if you each drank two beers. Like, that's pretty awesome.
Or if you're like me, you're on a moratorium for bringing home any more glasses because your cabinet is full.
What you have to do is you have to leave it in the car, go in, break a glass, and then magically just, look at this Paradox one. I have a Paradox glass, but it has been sitting in my office for the last 6 weeks or something like that. Probably from a similar thing. We've got glassware just stashed every which where, and it's definitely a problem. We even tried it like one of our last parties before this whole pandemic thing, is just giving people a glass for the night and they could take it home, and it didn't work. People left the glasses. Yeah, I still have like 40 glasses from Cafe Craft.
Yeah, I've started to kind of try and rotate them out. So, one comes in, one old pint glass goes into the Goodwill donation box so that it's, get rid of the ones you're not using anymore, bring in the new hotness.
Yeah, it's going to have to get rid of some at some point. But, anything else we need to cover?
No, just, it's really important that people get their local beer going. We're still hoping that our new up-and-coming breweries, Smash Mechanics and Red Swing,
Are there any others out? I mean, I know OCC Brewing is sort of in
limbo,
but isn't there like, what is that? Batch Slapped? Is that a brewery or is that a?
I think that's a cidery, if I'm not mistaken.
I thought it was.
That's out by Slinger's Smokehouse, right on Powers.
I thought so.
Yeah, haven't heard anything from them.
I thought it was a brewery too. Like it's like a brewery and.
Considering they're different licenses, that's why I kind of.
oh, I know.
Wonder.
Oh, I know, but
exactly what they are. But, long story short, we hope that the people who are trying to get open can get open and do so, without a ton of drama with all of this
stuff
going on and the new restrictions.
I was going to check our good old buddy Steven at Colorado Beer Geek to see what he has. He has Mash Mechanics. He has Red Swing Brewing. Red Leg's new facility, which is looking awesome. Keep track on their Facebook page. They're posting some fun photos pretty much every day of new things that are coming around. Yeah, he's got Batch Slap Brewing, and then yeah, Weldworks and Red Leg's new spot. But that's those things will not happen until probably after the shutdown stuff is all done. So
yeah, so I see Batch Slapped Cider, Batch Slapped LLP. There's various and sundry addresses here, but they don't really have a presence as far as like their own webpage of any sort. So
no, they have a sign up on a building, which I feel like is like extremely ahead of things.
Yeah, but, putting the cart before the horse there. We got this great deal on this sign.
Yeah, I mean they're over by Slingers Palmer and Park. And the what is it Powers Liquor Mart.
Okay.
Over there, Palmer Park and Powers. So right across Powers from like the Walmart there. So only really hop, skip, and a jump from Nano and from FH, which. If you haven't had a chance to get to Nano recently, their beers have been kicking butt. I unfortunately have not been there in a while, and I need to get out there. But they did a barrel-aged series of stuff the last couple weeks that just was – everyone was posting that it was just amazing. So,
I hear the new Battle Mountain is supposed to be good as well.
I've heard some good things about that. We
revamp of Gold Camp for those not in the know. That
we will have a
Battle Mountain.
Yeah, they just finished all the sort of legal stuff to get that changed over a month or two ago, and we'll have a little write up about them coming up here in the beginning of December. I've got an interview with them here in a week or two, hopefully if things don't get crazy and say don't go anywhere. We will hopefully sit down with them and get to hear a little bit more about what they are and what they're trying to do with that spot. Cause Goldfink Camp always was able to do, some really fun things. And it's sort of nice to get some new blood and some fresh, faces in there. And so hopefully they can take what Gold Camp was able to do and keep going.
Yeah. One thing I kind of wanted to mention, Atrevida, who we've had on the show before, they are closed down right at the moment because of close contact COVID exposure. And uh-oh. So they've had to shut down the brewery temporarily while they all get tested. And then hoping they all get through that without any actual cases and can get back to being open and selling beer again. But it's always, there's been the occasional temporary shutdown. I know Lost Friend went through it a week or so back where they had somebody back a house that had an exposure and they shut down for a couple of days. Even the Pikes Peak Lager House about a month ago had to do the same thing. So it's definitely been a bit more frequent lately.
Yeah, and speaking of Atrevida, they're actually a good thing to talk about for gift stuff. They're doing like a Christmas pail of ales. I think they just announced it maybe yesterday or the day before. But basically, it's 25 beers. Like
yeah, it's like a beer advent calendar, sort of.
Right, but it comes in this big, huge, like wicker basket. I don't know if the basket is just for one of them, like just for show. But $150 gets you 25 beers. That's that's actually pretty good. That's $6 a beer or something like that.
Yeah,
$6 a beer. I think it's a good. I think it's a pretty good deal if you're looking for something to like go through a beer advent calendar. Man, that's a great way to take down quarantine. But basically what the way they're doing that is send them a message on Facebook or Instagram or call them and they'll get your purchase going and then they'll can things. I think they're canning things fresh as soon as you order it. So it's not like they're pulling from old crawlers sitting in the fridge or anything like that. They're canning everything fresh for you. So if you're looking to support someone local, that's a great way to do it, especially someone that's just experienced a shutdown. I think they shut down on the 20th. So they might be back open here in the next week or so if, you know, everything tests negative. But basically, just support everybody. That's really what we want everyone to do is just get out there. And if you're not even – if you don't want to leave the house, you're scared of the pandemic, that's fine. Like, that's you, do you. But order some curbside, get someone to deliver you some, have your buddy go pick it up for you and drop it off on your porch. We really need to keep the breweries going because without the breweries, we don't have a local beer scene. So.
And then we're just on here talking about burgers, which wouldn't be a terrible show either.
Yeah. I just don't want to talk about burgers though. It's hard to drink three burgers during a podcast. I get really full from that.
How does one drink a burger anyway?
Yeah, that's tough.
Speaking of burgers, I feel like it's worth mentioning Cogstone, long known for their pizza, has started doing burgers as well. And I hear they're not bad. I haven't been down there myself yet to try them, but Cogstone adding to the food arsenal.
They've always been doing good food there. So if you're looking for a spot where you can actually eat and have some good beer, go get a good chips and salsa beer and have a burger with it. But thanks for listening to us blabber for a little bit after we were sort of on topic for a while and then just sort of derailed like a usual Focus on the Beer podcast.
We don't want to disappoint our fans by being anything less than they've come to expect.
Yeah. Well, for everyone that's doing something different for Thanksgiving, cheers.
Enjoy craft beer. Happy Thanksgiving. Cheers.
Cheers.